And welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Hey, they've got a pretty good selection of mowers up there. I know mower season's kind of winding down a little bit, but they do have good inventory right now if you want to go up and take a look, see what they have. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, right between Oasis and Pine Grove. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226. Anyway, they got a great crew up there. They have steel products, Honda Power products, and good inventories of both of those. So you can also catch them online at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
There. And so let's get back to climate change with our guest, Peter Friedman. Just so people know, Sunday at noon, sometimes it's a convenient time for people, sometimes it isn't. And some of you live within the listening area, but a lot of you don't. And that is why we post all of our shows commercial-free, free to listen to, and MP3 format, and it is on the web at wethepeopleradio.us. That's Bill's big job right there.
That's my cue.
That's how we keep Bill on test.
That's what I do.
But in all seriousness, and I try to group stuff, if you have topics you'd like us to get into, I mean, we did a long series on China, long before China was popular, and so there are a lot of shows there. If you'd like to hear, like right now we're hearing about how the virus started in a lab, newsflash, we did that show in February of 2020. With scientists.
Yeah.
I mean, this news is a year late. I think most people realize that, but they're going to, quote, debate it now. What a joke. Lots of shows on Islam with our current guest, Peter Friedman. We've done a bunch of environmental shows, lots of shows on veterans, bunches of shows on marijuana. And so if you still think it's harmless and maybe you're even good with the organized crime factor, you should really take a look at what it does to your brain and that of your children. So if your neighbor is at home smoking pot with, say, a baby, good luck with that.
Yeah.
There are going to be really big consequences when that child gets older if they don't show up before then. So anyway, we have a lot of experts coming on water in the future here. I've got some really good people lined up, and also working with a show with Dr. Willie Soon, who's an astrophysicist. He'll talk to us about the sun and how that affects climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the man when it comes to the sun. So anyway, there's a lot of information there for you, and it's designed for you to use and send to friends. Try to make it as easy as possible. All right, Mr. Friedman, back to the Vatican, huh?
Well, no, we're going to move from the Vatican to CO2 and climate change now.
Okay, Vatican, bad. Check that box, huh?
Check that block. Okay, so let people research all this stuff. If they go on your website, they can download my PowerPoint, but also download the PowerPoint on COVID, because in there we talk a little bit about Henry Kissinger and Bill Gates, and you have put up the now declassified security study memorandum 200. You have to read that. Start at page 85, as a matter of fact, when the whole study talks about depopulation.
Hmm.
Gee, we're not making this stuff up.
No.
So read that, and the COVID thing and this climate change and CO2 thing kind of go hand in hand. So let's talk about CO2 and the effect of it on climate change. First of all, temperature, and I'm dying to hear the doctor next Sunday, temperature does not follow CO2. So in other words, temperature doesn't go up or go down based upon the amount of CO2 in the air. It's just the opposite. Okay? CO2 has little, if no, effect whatsoever on global climate. Remember, CO2 is 0.04 of 100% of the air we breathe. And then man-made is 0.03 of the 0.04, okay? So it's hard to even measure. Okay. The CO2 crazy people, they base all of their assertions on computer models. Well, they can't even predict the weather 2 years from now.
They can't predict it for next week.
Two weeks from now.
Yeah.
Okay, so what changes climate? The sun, the solar system, and the galaxy that we're in. CO2 levels are not determined by temperature or climate. They're not determined by temperature rising and lowering. They're determined by the climate itself. They change after changes in temperature. Ocean temperatures basically determine how much CO2 can be stored in the atmosphere, and changes in the climate and the ocean temperature can increase or decrease the CO2 in the atmosphere. So during summer, when water begins to warm, it gives off CO2 that's been stored, and you wind up with more CO2 in the atmosphere than during the winter. It's really very simple. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Geologically, theoretically, in the last 500 million years to right now, there is absolutely no evidence that anybody can come up with that CO2 changes drive global climate. They can't, because it's like defying physics or defying the laws of gravity. If you throw an apple in the air, sure as hell it's going to come down, and hopefully it doesn't hit you. There are actually geological periods where the global temperature was lower, such as during the Jurassic period, and the CO2 level was higher. Remember I said CO2 responds to temperature. The lower the temperature, the less CO2 in the air. The higher the temperature, the more CO2 is released from the oceans into the atmosphere. Okay? So there is no logical reason whatsoever to believe that human beings' CO2 emissions are going to cause the Earth climate system to suffer any catastrophic damage. That's absolutely, legitimately scientific nonsense. So what causes climate change? It's caused by variations in solar activity. The characteristics of the solar system and the sun's position at any given time in the galaxy. From 1900 to 1950, temperature increased when CO2 emissions were low, but solar activity rose. It was the solar activity that raised the temperature, but it didn't raise the CO2 emissions. From 50 to 70, 1950 to 1970, the temperature was flat. But CO2 emissions increased. This is all in reports and everything else that you can read, legitimate reports. From 1970 to right now, solar activity has increased and CO2 has increased. Okay? Climate change. And I hope the doctor next Sunday, I'm dying to hear him. He can review this and correct anything, but I think he's going to agree with it. He's one of the people that I went to for a reference.
Yeah.
Climate change is caused by cosmic radiation. Cosmic radiation also causes cloud formation, which is a critical factor, of course, in determining the Earth's climate, because clouds regulate the amount of sunlight reaching the Earth's surface. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about Bill Gates and how he wants to seed the clouds with aluminum particles to shadow the sun and whatever. I think that's probably why Melinda decided he's wacko now and the cheese fell off his cracker and she's going to get the hell out of there quick. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you take a basic private pilot course, and as you recall, I've been a flight instructor since 1977, basic private pilot instruction on weather. We have a whole section in that instruction that has to do with cloud formation. It's that simple, okay? It's what's in the atmosphere and the radiation that reflects on what's in the atmosphere that causes the cloud. Sun puts out more light, but it also blocks more cosmic radiation, making fewer clouds and more sunlight is allowed to reach the surface of the Earth. Okay? As the sun creates more light. Okay? As it creates the more light, it also blocks cosmic radiation. So there's less weather. That's why we have a nice high pressure area during the summer and there are no clouds. The sun is out. It's hot. Beautiful day. But it's not creating more CO2. You with me?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's an effect of having more light, or is that the effect of the temperature?
No, it's the effect of having more light.
Okay.
Obviously, if there's more light from the sun, the temperature goes up, right?
Right.
Less light, the temperature goes down. So in the last 2,000 years, climate change has been caused by galactic cosmic ray flux. Nothing whatsoever to do with changes in CO2. Cosmic rays control the electrical system of the atmosphere, which in turn affects cloud microphysics and the radiative transfer of the atmosphere. Cosmic rays basically produce clouds. Both clouds and the radiative transfer change the global temperature and thus affect climate change. That's a very scientific explanation. When there's more sunlight, the temperature goes up, okay, and CO2 is generally released from the ocean where CO2 is stored. So the flux, this varying back and forth of incoming cosmic rays in the upper atmosphere is dependent on solar wind. Also, the Earth's magnetic field and the basic energy of the cosmic rays coming through to the Earth. High energy radiation from space, which also is known as galactic cosmic rays, can affect the Earth's climate by increasing cloud cover, causing an umbrella effect. So the more cosmic rays that come through the Earth's atmosphere, the more clouds that are created, okay, which changes the climate. This is not rocket science. Okay, this is very easily understandable. Okay, so the most penetrating radiation, which are your galactic cosmic rays, can pass through aluminum. Someone should tell Bill Gates. But it is stopped by thick and dense materials such as cement. But it is going to penetrate aluminum. I can go into the whole aluminum thing and with ultrasounding on aluminum to change the temperature and the molecules in the aluminum. Some aluminum, after it's heat treated, is more dense than others. So galactic cosmic rays penetrate right through aluminum. That's why, depending upon where you sit in an airliner at 35,000 feet, you can wind up with a sunburn. Okay?
I did not know that.
Cosmic rays seed the clouds by ionizing molecules in the Earth's atmosphere, and it draws in other molecules to create the aerosols around which water vapor can condense to form cloud droplets. So when you see an airliner that's flying up there at 35,000 feet and you see the contrails behind it, that's not the government trying to seed us with poison. Those are not chemtrails.
Uh-oh.
Those are contrails.
Oh, boy.
And what is happening is this airliner is passing through at 500 and some odd miles an hour. It's passing through a moisture-laden zone, and the turbulence created by the airspeed of the aircraft going through that moisture area upsets the molecules, okay, and it makes ice crystals. And what you're seeing behind the aircraft are ice crystals, which is why they go away in a few minutes.
And so what about, and so I can hear people, I can hear them in the back of my head. When we come back from the break, I guess it's kind of on topic, I guess. Maybe you can give some insight into why sometimes they stay, those trails stay there for a long time. Because I think that's what always gives rise to the they are spraying us situation.
You know what the temperature is at 35,000 feet?
It's probably pretty chilly.
60 degrees below zero. That's why they stay there.
Okay. Huh. So as you get closer to the sun, I always joke that Redding's only 2 miles from the sun, and that's why it's so hot. Huh. I'm going to take away my science card.
Well, there you go.
But it's always good for a laugh, so I don't know. Maybe I'll keep it. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with our guest, Peter Friedman. We are discussing, we're talking about science today. Mostly I'm just listening. And Bill's in charge of the science today.
Yeah. Bill. Yeah. I have a lot of questions.
We're in deep trouble.
I have a lot of questions.
You can find everything at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Who is it?
The human race was dying out. No one left to scream and shout. Evo walking on the moon. Smog will get you pretty soon. Evo one was hanging out. Hanging up there.
It wouldn't be a climate change day without a little ship of fools there. So the trails stay there for all that time because of how cold it is.
Yeah, it's 60 degrees below zero.
And then sometimes they start and stop, and that's like turning on and off the spraying.
Oh, of course, yeah. We're all being poisoned.
It's a plugged jet.
Well, I mean, okay, you've been with FAA for what? You know, and around planes for 50 years?
More? 53 years.
53 years, yeah. So you might have stumbled across that in your time there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, this is what we teach. We teach weather to private pilots to pass their written exam. And it's very simple. I mean, if any one of these morons like AOC were to just take the private pilot course, she would learn more about this.
Well, there you go.
Who is the founding guru of the whole climate change drama?
Oh.
It's a guy, it's a PhD named Stephen Schneider. Okay, in 1970, Schneider went to Jimmy Carter after he got elected and started jumping up and down about global cooling.
Oh, yeah.
And Carter didn't buy it.
Oh, he didn't buy it?
No, Carter didn't buy that. He bought a lot of stuff, but he didn't buy that. Okay. So around 1980, Schneider decided to start this whole production about potential man-made global warming, and it's going to be a catastrophe. All right, well, that's what, 40 years ago, 35 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Schneider has been a consultant to a number of U.S. administrations, Democrat administrations. This is really cool. In 1989, Schneider wrote an article in Discover magazine in which he stated, quote, "On the one hand, as scientists, we are bound to the scientific method. On the other hand, we need to get some broad-based support to capture the public's imagination. Loads of media coverage. offer up scary scenarios. It's a balance of being effective and being honest. This is the guy who started the whole thing. He's the guy who talked to Al Gore originally, okay? And they figured out a way to promote this nonsense, and we'll get into carbon credits here in a minute and what's actually going on. So the climate change methodology, okay, that Schneider initially promoted, he was a guy with John Holdren with Margaret Mead in 1975 at her Endangered Atmosphere Conference. That was Obama's science advisor. So why we're listening to any of these people, I don't know. In 1975, crazy Margaret Mead said, quote, "What we need from scientists are estimates presented with sufficient conservatism and plausibility, but at the same time as free as possible from internal disagreements that can be exploited by political interests that will allow us to start building a system of artificial but effective warnings, warnings which will parallel the instincts of animals who flee before the hurricane." So they came up with this whole BS. The whole thing was manufactured. Al Gore was in the middle of it, and he makes his movie An Inconvenient Truth. And under Clinton, what do? They have everybody in school, including my grandkids and my kids, who had to watch this idiot movie and then come home to me and go, "Geez, Dad," you know, and I'm going, "No, it's nonsense." And here's why. And then they go back and they argue with the teacher, and the teacher, who is stupid, you know, says, "Well, this got to be right. It came from the Vice President of the United States." Well, he will. I think we have a... Yeah, okay, I won't go there. So here's the carbon swindle.
Some things never change.
Okay? When they talk, they have talked about carbon credits. All right? It's all about money and depopulation. If we reduce, if these people are able to reduce the energy usage, it is going to affect population growth. Okay, that's where all this comes from. But there's now a money part of it. It's the carbon credit swindle. Behind any scam, there's money. In 2011, Deutsche Bank, which is the largest financial institution involved in derivatives, started tracking greenhouse gases, in other words, CO2 emissions. So somebody at Deutsche Bank over there in Germany says, "Hey, I see a way for us to make an extra buck." This is what happened in America in 2007 with the subprime mortgages. There were the Wall Street guys who were selling derivatives on mortgages. They weren't selling anything concrete. They were selling, it's like Bitcoin, okay? They were selling the opportunity to buy the delta between what something was selling for and what something was going to be purchased for. That's a derivative. So they were not selling anything. It was all on paper, and that's what happened in 2007. That whole subprime fiasco went down the toilet, and you know what happened from there. They tried to do the same thing with carbon credits. It's a swindle.
Mm-hmm.
Deutsche Bank went and established in Frankfurt, Germany, a carbon trading exchange. The EU, the European Union, established a carbon trading network. A carbon trading unit was established in Chicago in 2007 by Goldman Sachs. I stood right there in front of the place when I was back there, and I saw it. Their ticker symbol was CCX. People were going to trade carbon credits. Well, where did carbon credits come from? They were selling what are called carbon emissions certificates, okay? Prosecutors in Germany, 2015, finally raided Deutsche Bank and unfolded this whole scam. The whole thing was a scam. The Chicago Exchange had to shut down. The one in Frankfurt had to shut down. Deutsche Bank was criminally liable for this stuff. They even created the International Emissions Trading Association so they could get all the crooks together in one place. These guys included J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, BP, Shell. They discovered that if this took off, and they actually, the world said, okay, you're creating too much carbon emissions in the air, too much CO2 greenhouse gases, we're going to penalize you. So what these companies did was they made deals with lesser companies who didn't pollute as much and send CO2 into the air, and they said, okay, you're setting into the air 60% of what you're allowed. We're going to buy your other 40%. And then they would take that 40% as an emission certificate and apply that to what they were doing. And if they were putting 140% of their allotment into the air as CO2 with the carbon credit of 40%, now they're back down to 100%.
What a scam. Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have no idea. Billions and billions and billions, and the UN was right in the middle of it. Industrialized countries like us were even paying non-industrialized countries to stop developing their economies when they were issued carbon credit, because their carbon credit could be purchased by the industrialized countries for cash. So they were bribing non-industrialized. Do you get this?
Oh, yeah.
This is huge. Nobody has been reporting on this. This is all part of this whole carbon thing and the CO2. So what happens to the Earth if we get rid of CO2?
All the plants die?
Well, of course. Of course. See, we've got to have CO2 in order to produce through plants and high school photosynthesis. Okay?
Yeah, I passed fifth grade. I know the plants will die.
Oh, exactly. If the plants die and we completely destroy the rainforest in the Amazon, for example, in Brazil, who's going to make the oxygen?
And it's funny because the people who want to limit CO2 are the ones who want to save the rainforest. It's like, you know, guys, you ought to get your story straight. They need to be unscrambled.
Mm-hmm.
They're all involved. These people are all pulling this human pollution ideology. That's the whole thing behind depopulation, behind climate change. We've got to depopulate the world to have less pollution. Okay? And unfortunately, this whole hoax was bought into by Al Gore, George H.W. Bush Sr., Obama. In 1969, Bush Sr., while he was in Congress, created the Commission on Population Growth, created by not Bill Gates, but Bill Gates' best eugenics buddy, John D. Rockefeller III. Now, if you take a look, for example, and I'm going to connect the dots to the COVID and the vaccines thing. If you go to Eco Health Alliance, like we talked about a week ago, if you go to their website and you go down here to collaborators, click on collaborators, and who do you find? You find the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and you find the John D. Rockefeller Foundation. And I'm sorry, there's a handshake between all of these characters, and they're all in on it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
George Bush set up the Republican Task Force on Earth Resources and called in witnesses like Paul Ehrlich. Do you remember who Paul Ehrlich is? The crazy guy from the 70s who wrote The Silver Bullet about population growth and how we're going to run out of food and everything by 1990?
Yeah, that's Paul
Ehrlich.
Guy.
They're all in on it. The whole bunch of them. If you don't have CO2, you're in big trouble. May 2015, Obama had a conversation with the British naturalist David Attenborough, who, by the way, is the son of the famous actor Richard Attenborough, Jurassic Park. And Attenborough said, quote, of all of the disasters in the natural world have one element that connects them all. It's the unprecedented increase in the number of human beings on the planet. In December of 2009, Obama's EPA, they officially declared that CO2 is a dangerous pollutant. And the stupid Supreme Court affirmed it. I mean, somehow we gotta get control of this. Okay? I mean, photosynthesis is very simple. So what is the end game of the whole climate change, carbon, greenhouse gases, CO2 hoax? The whole ideology, which has become a religion now, is depopulation.
Yeah, they're not really hiding it very well either. I mean, if you really listen to what they say about almost all of these things, look at just the water in California. We're going to do some shows on that because people are just so radically misinformed. You know, they tell everybody it's the drought, but here you have enough water to grow the crops, but we're going to waste it and flush it out to the ocean, ostensibly for the fish, who, I'm sorry, aren't going to keep the people alive. Because you're not even allowed to touch them.
It's the fish. If you cook the fish, it'll keep people alive.
Yeah, you just don't get to eat the fish, though, so we're not even keeping them alive to eat. We're just getting rid of farmland. Look at how many people think that getting rid of agricultural land to grow hemp is a good idea. I'm sorry. We have trees.
I want to put an idea. In your head. If this is all about money and depopulation, if we have lost close to 600,000 Americans because of COVID in the last year and a half, and most of them were elderly, who were probably on Medi-Cal and Medicare, we have saved over $15 billion in health care costs.
Terrifying.
If you think of 3.5 million people in the world who have died from COVID, the majority are the elderly, it has cost the countries in the world who have lost these people, or I'm sorry, it has saved those countries close to $400 billion. And we've got rid of 3.5 million people. Okay? It's just a dot. Do with it what you will. But this whole carbon thing is BS. Carbon in the atmosphere accounts for 0.04 of the atmosphere. You can look that up. Everybody agrees with it. And the man-made portion of it is less than 0.03. It's kind of like the size of the COVID molecule. 0.01 of a nano.
Well,
nanomicro.
This is also similar to, you know, keeping the temperature of the river. You know, we have to let the water out of some of the big dams, Shasta Dam in particular. We have to let out water from the top of the dam because it's warmer to match with the water at the bottom of the dam that goes through the hydroelectric plant. The hydroelectric plant obviously produces power, but that water's cooler. So if they let that out, if they let it out the bottom, then they've wasted the cool water and the river won't be the exact temperature it needs to be.
For the fish,
because, you know, I mean, throughout history, of course, you know, we had thermometers in the river, and the fish know what temperature it is.
We never had salmon before.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We invented that.
Yeah.
Man-made invented salmon. Oh, my God. So we're going to go take medication now. We have to take a short free enterprise break. I'll take some kind of medication. I don't know what that's going to be. But I know the Red Pill Expo is going on up in South Dakota, and that's going great guns. So if you have a Red Pill Expo coming to you in a town near you, you should go, especially if you think all this is silly. You should really go. You should go twice then. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
But I don't want some pretty face. Tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to believe on.
Perfect song for a climate change show. Liar.
Liar.
Okay, so we have like 13 minutes. Can you believe it? We've blown through the better part of 2 hours. Mr. Friedman, you're a wonderful source of information. We love
Can I have those 13 minutes?
You just take them all.
Okay, moving right along. What I need people to do is to read the now declassified security study that was done in 1974 that you put up on your website. Start at page 85. The entire climate change depopulation endgame is right there. It's on page, starts on 85 and it goes to 86. And they are talking about how the United States, for security purposes, was transferring funds to people in the third world, not to modernize their economies. This is it. Now you can go back to the triangle and all the people coming across the border.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying these people who run these governments not to improve their economies, okay, so that they don't overpopulate. Well, what's happening is the cause and effect of that is that they're all coming here. So this has been going on for the last, 35, 45 years. Read that document. The document that you have on there that is with it, the NSSM, is the National Security Study Memorandum that was declassified that is signed by President Ford accepting the study. It's all there. So if you want a little bit more, we could talk about, for example, depopulation. Let's talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Okay? In 1977, after Roe v. Wade came out on abortion, she stated that the Supreme Court's desire was to diminish, quote, populations that we don't want to have too many of, unquote. Ginsburg said this. Okay? She also said that the right to abortion, quote, was then going to be set up for Medicaid funding, unquote. Ginsburg was a buddy of John Holdren. We're back to John Holdren again, okay?
Look at
too many
penny.
People. Now, under Obama, if you remember back in 2009, it was Holdren that advocated the mass vaccination for the H1N1 swine flu. That appeared briefly in the United States in 2009. Came from pigs in Mexico. 284,000 people died around the world from the swine flu, the death rate being 0.00004. Okay? That was the death rate. But they had such a deal here going on with Pfizer and the rest of these pharmaceutical companies that all of a sudden were gearing up for this thing. And when the swine flu was contained and it went away, they lost billions of dollars. Why do you think they're pushing the vaccines today? They're recouping all of that money. The four top guys in these companies now, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, these guys are billionaires today. In the last year and a half. Okay, in 2013, okay, we had another vaccine that they were trying to put together for the swine flu again, which comes around every year as a seasonal flu. But that year, only 300 people died. And so they just stopped. They just stopped. They made some vaccines, but they just quit. Okay? Catherine Fitz, who was HW's seniors, Assistant Secretary of Housing, okay, who was admitted that global depopulation was a goal, and she stated, quote, perhaps it is the goal of the swine flu epidemic as well, whether biowarfare or hype around the flu season is involved. She said we had to have a radical change in how we govern resources or depopulate. It was a mathematical result. She said unless you change the actuarial assumptions in the budget, like life expectancy, lowering immune systems and increasing toxicity levels combined with poor food, water, and terrorizing stress will help do the trick. Well, what do you think this country has gone through in a year and a half?
Yep.
What do we do? What do we do? I don't know. You know, I mean, my wife keeps telling me, Jesus, if you keep researching this stuff, you're going to wind up going into a severe depression. And I'm going, no.
You're
going
to give yourself a heart attack.
It's too late.
Well, no, because I keep coming up with the truth. Okay? And like the Germans always said, the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I have it very difficult to believe that IG Farben, who is the manufacturer of the Zyklon B pesticide that killed 6 million Jews in the concentration camps, okay, is now Ciba Geigy and Novartis. That's IG Farben. So this chemical company is still there. They are now coming up with a new pesticide. Did you see on TV this week where they're talking about how maybe they can use Zyklon B to get rid of the cicadas in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, my gosh.
Are you kidding? We have gone bat poop nuts.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. It does keep coming back to that, doesn't it?
Rod Serling wouldn't accept this if you wrote it up for the Twilight Zone.
It's just
Tom
not
Clancy
believable.
Couldn't write this. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. This is literally crazy stuff. The inmates have taken over the asylum. That's what happened after the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution. That's why they're still where they're at. Because they killed off anybody with a brain and common sense, or who wore glasses. You know, and the inmates took over the asylum, and I keep lecturing on to people when I do historical lectures. The American Revolution was about money. It was about taxes. It was about business. It wasn't like the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution. So now you sit there and you wonder about the Russian mentality. My great uncle, Elisha Friedman, in 1922 went to Russia. He worked for Kuhn Loeb in New York, and they sent him over to Russia to survey how the Russian economy was and where, in fact, they thought they were going with their five-year plans of communism and everything else. And he wrote a famous book that is used as a textbook today. It's called Reconstruction in Russia, Elisha Friedman. And it's amazing if you read his analysis of the Russian mind in 1922 after the revolution. And in the book, after going to Russia, spending months there, talking to all these people, the commissars and everything. Okay? And he said, these guys are just, they're way off base here. They killed off everybody with a brain.
Yeah, and I think people too are kind of in a state of mind where they're just acting like lemmings.
Well, and the other part is if those things are real, then any crazy theory could be real. And the bad part is then anybody who's peddling, you know, pseudoscience, and to those of us who are not scientists, okay, seems possible. How cold is it again?
Yeah,
how cold is it up there where the ice crystals come out? 60, what did you say how cold it is?
60 below?
60 degrees below zero.
Yeah, so how many people actually know that, have factored that in? So when someone tells them something else, hey, okay, that could be true.
Well, some of them say, you know, well, how come all of them don't throw a chemtrail? Well, they don't all fly at the same altitude, for starters.
You know what Gore said in the movie An Inconvenient Truth? My kids came home with this after watching the movie, and Gore freely said, oh, my God, if all the glaciers, you know, and the Arctic, they all melt and everything else, the oceans are going to rise. And I'm going, okay, tell you what, come here in the kitchen. get me some ice cubes. Fill the glass with ice cubes. Fill it all the way to the top now with water. And let's come back here in an hour and see how much it's overflowed.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to raise the level.
How do you think a steel boat floats in water? It's by displacement.
Yeah.
So the ice cubes are all melted. Hell, we all go to a bar and we get a drink, right? The ice melts. Does the drink overflow when the ice melts? No, it just makes more water.
That's different.
That's different.
I mean, I don't know what we're teaching people in school anymore.
We're not.
It's
scary.
And our policies have been captured by these people, and so then they convince, you know, they convince your uneducated masses or the ones who basically want to do a good job. It's just like fire. Here we are in fire season, you know, and everybody's going to say, oh, it's all because of climate change. No, it's because we started suppressing fire in the 1930s. And when we did that, and then we had the tree hugger movement that came right in behind that, we stopped cutting trees, and we have created perfect campfires. If you've ever built a campfire, go look at our forests. They look exactly like perfect campfires, except much larger. And for those people that are still hanging on climate change, please go back and listen to our shows on fire. We have had registered professional foresters who actually know how forests work and how trees work. And no, it isn't. They're not spraying them. Nobody needs to spray them. They're going to light on fire because you have such a fuel load. There's no way to catch up with it. It's all very explainable. Real science actually explains all of that.
Yep. Can I leave you with one last quote?
Oh, do it. Leave us with two.
Okay, I will. In 1996, you heard of the Council on Foreign Relations?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's a whole collection and committee of whack jobs. 1996, in their magazine called Foreign Affairs, there was a full-page ad. And it's the official publication of the Council, the CFR. I quote, "We need a smaller population in order to halt the destruction of our environment and to create an economy that will be sustainable over the very long term. The root cause, overpopulation." So now, when you take and connect the dots, okay, like a flow chart, and at the top is overpopulation. Underneath there, you wind up with COVID and pseudoscience. On the other hand, you've got the climate change crazy people. The climate change people want to create a bell curve so that at the bottom on the left, as we go up this curve, we have more and more fuel density available, right? We get to the top of the curve. If we were at the top of the curve, we would have nuclear energy. Free, clean, long-lasting, no pollution.
Yeah.
They want to go now to the downside of the curve and start getting rid of all of our historical fuel density power.
Got it.
When you do that, what happens to the population?
Yep.
That simple.
It goes away. Nothing to eat.
That's right.
Peter Friedman, thank you for spending the day with us.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And,
Lots of info to digest. We just
listened to the Twilight Zone, and off we go to the news. We'll see you again next week.
Always a pleasure.
WePeopleRadio.us.